You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Also, I'm working on enunciating here today. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Jen Mead, owner of Prairie Kids Club. How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, Prairie Kids Club, I have to say that I've been to a few million birthday parties over there. My kid had a birthday party over there, and it's almost organized chaos there. Yeah, so
can be at times.
So how about you tell us, how did you get into Prairie Kids Club?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So I started out coaching cheerleading for the Sun Prairie High School.
Okay.
A long time ago. I don't want to say how long time ago.
Sure, yeah, wow.
And we moved into that space where Prairie Kids Club is right mm-hmm. now in mm-hmm. 2004 when we created a middle school cheerleading team that obviously wasn't affiliated with the school district.
Sure.
So that space where Prairie Kids Club sits right now has had several evolutions. So it started out as the Sun Prairie cheerleading program.
That whole space?
Yeah. No, we've grown. So just okay. that middle larger space started as Sun Prairie cheerleading.
Okay.
And it was run by our booster club. So of parents.
Wow.
And the coaches. And then in 2007 or 2008, somewhere mm-hmm. around there, the cheerleading program went private and became a company called Cheer Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it was an all-star cheerleading facility.
Okay.
And the owner of that created the concept of Prairie Kids Club alongside of Cheer Wisconsin, which was competitive cheerleading.
Sure.
And in 2012, he decided he didn't want to run the business anymore. And I was doing administrative work for him. I had moved out of coaching and said, I'll take it from you.
Oh.
And so when I bought the gym in 2012, I rebranded it as Prairie Kids Club.
Oh, nice.
And so we turned it into what it is today.
Sure.
So it's been there for a long time.
Right.
It just has had several evolutions
in
its existence.
Interesting. So how long did you work there before you bought into it?
Well, I went back to work for them in 2009 behind the scenes. So I retired from coaching when my daughter was born in 2007. And so in 2009, I went back to help them behind the scenes administratively.
Sure.
Just because I did a lot of that work when I was coaching as well.
Mm-hmm,
and so.
Well, so it was a few years.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
You knew what was going on, the ins and outs and all that
I've
jazz.
I've been in and out of that gym for many, many years.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to take it over?
Well, my daughter had a lot to do with it.
Oh.
My daughter had been in that gym since she was in the womb. And
as
a baby, I feel like she came out counting in eight counts.
Sure.
That's what cheerleading is.
Nice.
And so that gym became a huge part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said he was thinking about being done, I couldn't imagine my daughter's life without that gym in it.
Sure.
And, you know, and it turns out now she's 11 years old and cheerleading is her passion.
Nice.
And so that gym, you know, it was all because of my daughter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you still do stuff with cheer?
Yes, we do. We have cheerleading. We have cheerleading, gymnastics, open gyms, parties, field trips, just tons of stuff going on there now. But cheerleading has always been a huge part of our gym. Yeah.
So I don't know much about it, but I do know that cheerleading in Sun Prairie is a
big
deal.
Yep, it's big.
But outside of that, that's the extent of my knowledge here.
Yeah, so our cheerleading program, we do kids age 3 up to 8th grade. So we are a school-based cheerleading program, which is very different than any other cheer program in the area. In that, the kind of our purpose is to prep our kids for high school.
Oh.
So we do 90% of our kids are Sun Prairie kids, and we do have some other community children.
Sure.
But we're prepping them to go to their high school should they get there. So we don't go beyond 8th grade. We have a really strong alliance with the Sun Prairie High School cheer program.
Okay.
All of their coaches are our coaches, a lot of their students or their team members are student coaches for us. So they serve as mentors for our younger kids.
Sure.
So we just prep them all the way up to 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in middle school, they compete.
Okay.
So they're starting to learn how to compete and, again, prepping them for that high school cheer team.
So. Now, when you say compete, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So our kids that this year, our competitive team is 4th through 8th grade kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing about 8 competitions locally. So okay. Most of them are in the Milwaukee area, just because that's where we found most of our competition
sure.
is.
Okay.
And so they go to cheer competitions and they compete against other teams huh. of kids the same age.
Sure.
And yeah.
And you're talking about kids doing flips and yep, throws and
yeah.
Oh, it's more than just a pyramid, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it's a 2.5-minute routine that they do that incorporates okay. cheerleading, dance, stunting.
Okay.
Tumbling is a huge part of it.
Sure.
And we started out as Prairie Kids Club is a tumbling gym.
Sure.
So our tumbling is super strong in our sure. program.
So you're talking about all kinds of crazy flips mm-hmm. and twists and all that
yeah,
jazz. The superhero moves.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're talking fourth grade starting.
Yeah, our competitive team this year is 4th through 8th grade. Yeah.
Holy
cow.
Kinda,
it evolves every year based on our enrollments and
sure.
who comes to the mm-hmm. team every year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, yeah, it's 4th through 8th. And then we have a kindergarten through 3rd grade team that they just are exhibition based.
Oh, sure.
So it's low stress, low pressure environment. They only practice once a week. It's really
okay.
about getting them into the sport and helping mm-hmm. them fall in love with the sport in, and they do go to 2 performances at cheerleading
sure.
competitions a year, but they perform exhibition so that they don't have any stress.
Sure.
So that's that younger team was really meant to help them fall in love with the sport and
sure.
and not have that stress of competing.
Gotcha. Well, even in 4th grade, you're talking 9 years old that
yeah.
are doing this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, I wish I would have done that when I was 10. I can't even touch my toes now, so that's a thing. So business is going well?
It is.
Okay.
It's going really good.
What is the primary drive then? The kids kind of fun weekend birthday stuff? Or is it more the cheer stuff? Or is
well,
it half and half?
You know, we also, our brand is also surrounded around gymnastics classes. So
right.
people, you know, think of gymnastics when they think of Prairie Kids Club as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a recreational gymnastics program where we do 18 months up to 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
Same thing. We don't go past 14 years old or 8th grade. We're
sure.
prepping these kids to go to their high school gymnastics team.
Okay.
So very recreational based with that.
Mm-hmm.
For our classes, and then we have the open gym 7 days a week and birthday
mm-hmm.
parties on the weekends.
Sure.
You know, the open gym birthday parties is 50% of our top line. It's
sure.
it's our biggest portion of our business. So
okay.
But yeah, it's all about the kids.
Sure.
You know, that's what I say to my staff all the time. It's not about us, it's about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
just creating a safe environment for the kids to
sure.
play and to work out
mm-hmm.
and that they're learning something along the way and having
nice.
fun.
That's yeah. awesome. So you raise an interesting point because
yeah.
you mentioned staff.
Yeah.
That's something I always have to ask people about.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with, you're more behind the scenes, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, I am. Definitely.
So that means that you have to have employees there taking
yeah.
care of these kids. And I suppose 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to work 7 days a week. So how do you find staff and train staff and keep staff?
That's the $1 million question.
Right. I'm hoping for answers because I need them.
We have... We fluctuate between 20 and 25 staff members.
Do you really?
Yeah, we have a very large staff.
Wow.
Most of them are all part-time.
Okay.
So a lot of high school students, college students,
mm-hmm.
Moms who
sure.
are just getting out of the house for a couple days a week
mm-hmm.
Is what our staff consists of. I do have
sure.
two directors that
okay.
manage day-to-day operations, and then we have a couple supervisors that
mm-hmm.
help with also with day-to-day operations.
Sure.
So finding staff, our high school cheer team is a...
Oh,
is,
nice.
Some of our staff comes from that.
Okay.
We have a lot of alums from
okay.
our cheer program.
Oh, nice. All
that
right.
That are staff members as well. We're pretty picky
okay.
About
That's
who
good.
Works there.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it really is a very unique environment and
mm-hmm.
that it's really all about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find the right people that are there for the right reasons is challenging.
Right.
And this is a challenging workforce to recruit in. So
mm-hmm.
we're probably having the same struggles as everybody else finding
sure.
finding the right staff members. But it's really predominantly off of alums and people
gotcha.
Who have grown up through this program. This, you know, our cheerleading program has a very strong legacy and
mm-hmm.
a very strong history.
Sure.
And so we've had a lot of luck drawing off of alums
okay.
for that.
And I imagine there's some loyalty there that they wouldn't have
Absolutely.
At any other business.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't grow up there or
yes.
anything.
And
sure.
they also know, I mean, even the recreational gymnastics, I mean, a lot of kids try gymnastics and then move on to another sport. One
sure.
of the reasons why we don't have a competitive gymnastics program, it takes a certain body type and
sure.
you know, style to be a successful gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... With cheerleading, they're out there among all their friends on the
sure.
floor, and they're not
right.
out there by themselves.
Oh,
so sometimes
sure.
it's intimidating to compete
well,
by yourselves.
I bet.
So we do see kids convert from gymnastics over to cheerleading.
Oh, interesting.
So our cheerleading coaches even coach gymnastics
sure.
and are training those kids as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting. So I imagine it's tough to find I always think it's tough to find employees just overall, yes. universally, right?
Oh, yes.
And then to find some employees that are personable with kids,
right.
there's another layer of difficulty. Then to work with the schedule that you have, and then to be able to train these kids so that they have to have, so the people that you're hiring have to have some skill set
yeah.
that not everybody has.
Exactly. And yeah, for our instructional positions, definitely.
Sure.
They have to have some sort of physical aptitude and
mm-hmm.
and general knowledge of gymnastics and cheerleading.
Sure.
You know, when it comes to the open gyms and the parties, it's really more focused on, do you have a voice to mm-hmm. to be able to keep it a safe environment?
Sure.
And, you know, in the parties, it's about just making it super fun for mm-hmm. the kids and mm-hmm. for making the party kid feel special.
Right.
So they are supervising the kids. And
right.
for our all-star parties, the parents are dropping those kids off
mm-hmm.
for 2 hours. So we do have to supervise them and make sure that they have a safe environment
sure.
to play in.
Sure.
So again, it goes back to, it's all about the kids. So that's what we preach all the time to the staff, that, you know, our three priorities are, it's safe, it's fun, and third, they're learning something along the way.
Nice.
So that's kind of our priorities
cool.
that we live by.
Super cool. I have to apologize because my kid was crying at his party.
Oh, no.
I don't know why. I don't know if he knows why, but I felt so bad for your staff because they got this... The birthday boys cry and like,
oh,
yeah,
no.
I don't know why, I don't take it personally.
A lot of different things happen.
So yeah, party, whatever. So. I think it must have just been attention or some overwhelm
maybe.
From a lot of kids,
yeah.
whatever.
It's like stimulus overload in there. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a very dynamic environment,
mm-hmm.
Very engaging, and there's music going and
yeah.
there's, you know, the noise of the inflatables and
mm-hmm.
the kids running around and
mm-hmm.
it's just, there's a lot going on.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. So how did you decide on layout and all that jazz, since you have so much stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, like I said, we've evolved. So we started out with one gym space,
mm-hmm.
And then we moved into two gym spaces,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved into three gym spaces,
mm-hmm.
and then most recently we pulled back one of the third gym spaces. We're in the process of building a new building.
Are you really?
So, yeah. So
congrats.
Thank you. In the process of being able to stay in our current space longer until our building was done, we had to negotiate with the landlord. And
sure.
we had to give up one of our spaces because
oh.
they needed it. So
gotcha.
That was
right.
a really big growing pain for us in the last year because
sure.
that's so our layout has been really based on the space that we currently have.
Sure.
We've kind of made what we have work.
Okay.
And we've had to move things around a lot as
sure.
we've added and removed spaces in
mm-hmm.
that gym. But when we get in our new space, that will be very, you know, methodical. We'll think that through very thoroughly where
sure.
everything will go because
sure.
that will be our home permanently and forever.
Yeah.
Once we get in that space.
So that will be in the industrial park?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So we are under contract on some land right now.
Okay.
And we go for city approvals in March, and should everything go well with
yeah.
that, we will close on the land and start building the next week. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. So we
all right.
we have contractor already set up. Everything's ready to go. It's
sure.
just a matter of those city approvals.
Just need a little stamp from the city
yep.
and then away you go. And I imagine, does that mean fall of 2019?
Yes, we are targeted to open in September of 2019. That's
wow.
what our project timeline is showing right now.
Nice.
So as long as Mother Nature cooperates
sure,
with
right?
us in the spring, we should be opening. We follow the school year with our
okay.
scheduling. So
mm-hmm.
September is always the kickoff of a new year for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I also took over Prairie Kids Club in September. So that's always been kind
oh,
of our
nice.
Anniversary. Or
sure.
our birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So when we open the new gym on September 1st, it
mm-hmm.
not only will be the beginning of a school year, but
yeah.
it'll also be our anniversary.
Very
so
cool.
it'll be our 7-year anniversary of Prairie Kids Club.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What made you decide to go off and build?
Oh, that's a long story. So we've been looking for new space for, this has been a 3-year project.
Sure.
We've always known that we outgrew our space very quickly.
Sure.
When we rebranded as Prairie Kids Club, we
mm-hmm.
grew exponentially really quickly.
Okay.
So we've been looking for space for about 3 years and we never intended to build. We wanted to just rent. We are
mm-hmm.
very happy renting. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient. But commercial property in Sun Prairie is a hot commodity.
It is.
It's very hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'd find a space that was large enough,
mm-hmm.
but didn't have high enough ceilings.
Oh, sure.
Our high school team also practices in our facility, and
mm-hmm.
they throw those girls up pretty high in
yeah.
the air.
Yeah.
So finding a space that not only had the ceiling height, but square footage proved to be almost impossible to
really?
Find.
Really? Okay.
It was impossible.
Sure.
So I've had a broker on contract for 3 years that we've been
wow.
looking for space. And it wasn't until, you know, our lease was coming up to be due in our current space
mm-hmm.
and our our building mates bought the building when our previous landlord passed away.
Okay.
And their business is growing as well. And we were always jockeying for space, the both of us, because we're the two main tenants of that building in the business park. And they bought the building, so they obviously
they win.
So that's why we knew we had to find new space, because they knew they were going to eventually grow to a point where they could occupy that entire building. So we kicked it into high gear looking for rental space about a year ago, and we toyed with the building, and I was like, oh, that's a lot of money, and oh my gosh, that's, you know, that is a little bit bigger than I wanted to go. But we could not find any property in Sun Prairie, and our brand is so closely tied to Sun Prairie that not only through the cheerleading program, but we're Prairie Kids Club. And so because we had such a strong brand in Sun Prairie, we did not want to leave Sun Prairie city limits. And my broker kept coming back with, well, I got an opportunity in Windsor or DeForest or Madison. And I was like, no, we need to stay inside Sun Prairie. And so we were kind of backed in a corner, and we said, we've got to build. So we shifted our search from property that to rent to lots to purchase that would be big enough for a building that we wanted. So, and that's how we landed on the building or the property that we bought. Or that we have under contract right now. So it was never really in the plans to build a building. But we're going with it. We're going with it.
That's all right.
We're in 2 feet now.
That's awesome. Well, congrats on that. That's
a big deal. It's exciting and incredibly scary at the same time. It's a big investment.
Because I'm, I imagine there's some money that you have to front and all that jazz.
Just a little bit.
And so there's a risk there because
definitely.
I imagine you're also dealing with kids, and if a generation says all of a sudden we don't want to be cheerleaders, you have a bad day. But in the end, if half your business is taking care of kids, just playing, getting out of the house, jumping around.
Very luckily, you know, our business has evolved in the in 6.5 years or so that we've been in business. And like I said, the top line is 50% of the top line is that open gym, party, field trip business, which, you know, I don't envision going away anytime soon. Parents are always looking for outlets for their kids.
And
we closed for the cold weather the last week, a couple days, and the amount of messages we got that parents were like, no, they wanted to get out of the house and have a place for their kids to play. We're very busy in the winter when there isn't that park, you know, the local park option, or your backyard. It's, you know, it's a confined space that's warm, and they can have fun. And, you know, we're also really busy in the summer when it rains or when it's really humid and hot. We're busy in the summer. So, but those nice spring days, it's pretty empty in our gym because people are getting out to the park and enjoying that weather for the first time in the spring, or, you know, even in the fall, they're taking advantage those last couple good days people go to the parks. But yeah, we're definitely an option when the weather is not good outside.
The little ebbs and flows, that's all right.
Definitely.
So what have been some of your biggest challenges in business outside of the whole finding space?
I mean, competition. We have a lot of competition in
the
area. We have tons of competition.
Okay.
So because we have so many different branches of our business, we are different from all of our competition in that we offer a lot of different things. There are several cheerleading gyms in the area that
are there really?
Yes, that are competition in cheerleading.
Okay. There's lots of that's above my head. I had no idea.
Lots of gymnastics gyms in the area. And then we have, you know, our competition also are the indoor trampoline parks and things like that are competition to us because they offer that indoor play and party option. So we have tons of competition, but nobody is like us. Nobody offers all of the things like we do. So competition has been definitely something, you know, we pay attention to our competition. We pay attention to what they're doing. We pay attention to what works for them, what doesn't work for them. Like everybody else, we learn through our mistakes. That's the best way that we've learned is we make a mistake, we learn from it, and we do it different the next time. So competition is one, and then staffing is, you know, like I said, the $1 million question. Finding the right people to work for us is also the biggest challenge.
That makes sense. That makes sense. When you bought the business, was there, did the staff stay with you at that point, or was it big of a transition was it?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we only, you know, when I first bought the business, I worked there full time. I worked the 14-hour days. I worked, you know, did everything. So I had a really small staff. And the staff that was on with Cheer Wisconsin, outside of the coaching staff, because Cheer Wisconsin stayed inside of Prairie Kids Club and rented from us. So his staff stayed with him and coached the cheerleading. And then the other staff came and was under Prairie Kids Club then at that time. And so we did retain some of the staff. And, you know, this industry has a lot of turnover as well, probably just like any industry right now.
Right. I don't know any that doesn't.
Right. Exactly. So we did have some staff stay long term, some were short term, but we also employ a lot of high school and college students. So when their stint is done at UW-Madison, they're off.
They're out.
Yep. They're off. And
pull up the roots.
Or like if they graduate from Sun Prairie High School, we know they're off. They're going to college. So we know, you know, some of our staff is not going to be there forever. We've been really lucky also, though, to hire a lot of moms, you know, like I said, that are stay-at-home moms that want to get out of the house a couple nights a week or a couple mornings a week while their kids are in school. And so they tend to stay a lot longer because they made that choice to, you know, have that job, and it's not necessarily related to schoolwork or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So outside of the building, even though that's a big one, I say that like, hey, outside of your life, outside of your building, what else do you have planned for growth for Prairie Kids Club?
Yeah, well, in our new space, we have 151 exposure. So
So signage.
Yeah, so we are definitely expecting and anticipating our business to grow quite a bit just off of, I mean, we've been in business for 6.5 years and we still every day get people coming in saying, I had no idea you were here. And we're like, oh my God, how do you not know? I mean, like, we've done full page ads in the newspaper and like we, you know, have really good following on social media, but we're tucked back in the business park.
Sure.
And so we have no visibility. And so if you don't hear about us, you don't really know that we're there.
Right.
So definitely we're going to expand on that open gym business once we get that exposure. I definitely think that people, all that traffic coming in south on 151 to all the other businesses that Sun Prairie has to offer, you know people are coming in from other communities coming to these businesses. And they're going to see our sign on 151 and they're going to say, kids, what's, I got to Google that.
You have my attention.
You know, once we, you know, really realize the magnitude of that, we've been, you know, my directors and I, we've been having a lot of strategy planning sessions, you know, the last couple months on what is this going to look like in the transition. And we really kind of came to the aha moment that exposure on 151 is going to be a game changer for us. So we engaged our company that does our website, and we're in final stages of revamping our website right now to make it a lot, you know, more user friendly and a lot more dynamic and a lot more representative of what our business is.
Right.
And so that was one of the things, is I thought I have to have this website updated because I'm anticipating the Google traffic will you know, increase because people are going to be looking us up as they drive by. So we definitely, our growth plans are definitely in the areas of the open gym and the parties and the field trips. We have churches and daycares and things like that, or even schools. The local schools bring the kids in for field trips. So that is our biggest growth opportunity area because it doesn't cost us anything to grow in that area. We already have staff there. We have capacity for a lot more kids to come in during those open play times because their parents supervised. So we don't have to pay attention as much to the student staff ratios because we are not responsible for supervising the children when they're there for open gyms. So that is a huge growth opportunity area for us. So that's, that's where we're really focusing our efforts on is in that open gym parties and field trips. And we're always looking to grow the gymnastics and cheerleading. Always looking to grow that. So,
but imagine most of that growth is probably almost referral based to a point.
It is. A lot of it is referral based. You know, and again, we're really putting a really high focus on our social media and our marketing through social media and how, you know, the right kind of people to target to get the customers that we're looking for. So, you know, gymnastics and cheerleading, it's a very niche market. I mean, your kid has to be interested in that for them to even be seeking you out. And so the growth is a little bit limited there, and we have a ton of competition in the area.
I did not realize that.
I mean, it's like I said, it's different. Most of the gymnastics gyms in the area have competitive teams where we don't have that. We're all recreational based. So we're more comparable to like Park and Rec kind of program. And the cheerleading, we're school-based, whereas all the other teams in the area are all-star-based, which are two very different types of cheerleading. So that's why we have a lot, to the public, we all look the same. But what we offer...
Cheer is cheer, right?
Yeah, and gymnastics is gymnastics. But once you walk into the building and you start being a part of our program, it's very different.
Gotcha.
So, but
all right,
the public, we're all the same. So,
But in the end, it's not the public that's really important, right? In that regard, for that business?
Well,
the
people, the target clients.
The people that are looking for you. You do what you do.
Well, people will type in cheerleading Sun Prairie or gymnastics Sun Prairie. And so then our marketing is critical that we pop up in their searches to be a viable you know, option for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's all these, you know, chat groups, community groups on social media, and, mm-hmm. and we get talked about on there a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we definitely follow those and make sure that we know what, you know, the community thinks of us and what they're saying about us, good, mm-hmm. bad, and indifferent.
Sure.
You know, we read every review we get. We respond to every review.
And sure.
We, even when we get negative reviews, we take it, we, you know, address it, we, you know, and we fix it. Mm-hmm. Make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
So
fix what you can anyways, right?
We do. Yep. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of clients where they get negative reviews where people just were clearly having a bad day.
Yes. Yeah.
Likely unrelated to the business at all.
Right.
But still that person left a review, right?
Well, it's so easy to leave a review to a blank computer screen.
Yes.
Or leave a complaint, mm-hmm. or, you know, we all do it. Nobody is exempt from that. I mean,
sure.
we all use social media to vent.
Right.
And so we try to, when we see it, we try to address it right away.
Sure.
And resolve it with the customer. Or privately, and sometimes mm-hmm. they take their review down or change their review, and sometimes they don't, and that's
right.
business. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes in business you extend the olive branch and you go the extra mile and you resolve it, but then they never
right.
change the review on you.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, that's really frustrating, but
right.
it's a part of doing business.
Yeah, you do what you can.
Yeah.
Realistically, you can't fix people, so
yes, yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. I mean, when it's all said and done, are the kids having fun? I mean, the parents,
that's true.
If the kids are not having fun, the parents are not going to come back.
Right.
Because the parents have control over their schedule. The parents
mm-hmm.
have control over how they're going to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if the kid's not happy, they're going to go find something else.
Right.
That's just what it comes down to.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you raised an interesting point about watching the kids. So I wanted to ask you about liability.
Yeah.
Because I just had another client asking me about insurance.
Yeah.
And they're an office business. So like their liability is a pencil stab or
right,
something like that,
right?
Negligible. But with something like you, where you get kids running around, jumping, there's
yep.
trampolines, there's big foam pads,
yep.
there's bouncy houses and all that kind of stuff. Sooner or later, a kid's going to get hurt. So just they're kids, right? You could put a kid in a square room that was fully padded, they'd still find a way to hurt themselves.
Right.
It's kids.
Well, it's, you know, there's only a handful of companies that write insurance for my kind of business
in
the country.
Okay.
And so we, you know, the company that writes our insurance is out of like, say Kansas or, you know, somewhere down south where these sports are a little bit bigger.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the local companies around here, the ones, the big names that you would think of, none of them will touch my business with a 10-foot pole.
Really?
No, not even for like workers' comp in some scenarios. Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're spotting kids. They're supervising the kids. I mean, if kids taking a nosedive off of a trampoline, they're trained to dive in front of them and catch them.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, so we write our general business liability and our workers' comp locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then our athlete liability is out of a very specific insurance company that only insures these types of facilities.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so I imagine all the other, your competition, they all ask to do the same thing,
I'm
right?
sure they do. Yep.
Or hopefully they do.
Hopefully they do. Yes.
To carry insurance, right?
Yeah.
Carry insurance.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Yes.
So, and I imagine there's going to be the nicks and scrapes and all that kind of stuff for the typical tumbles. But
our rule in-house is anytime they administer first aid, they fill out an incident report. So even
mm-hmm.
if that's giving them ice. So, you know, if they administer first aid, they fill out an incident report. They
mm-hmm.
have to fill it out that night. They have to call mom or dad if mom or dad are not on site.
Sure.
And mom or dad or the guardian needs to come in. They have to explain to them what happened. The guardian has to sign the form saying
mm-hmm.
that, you know, this is what happened.
Sure.
And this is the first aid.
Just acknowledgement, and then, essentially.
Yeah, basically acknowledgement, and that they're picking their kid up.
Sure.
You know, and then the staff gives them to me. And then within 1 or 2 days, I call the parent and follow up just to make sure everything's okay. Knock on wood, we haven't had an insurance claim that we've had to deal with. But if there were to be, you know, a serious injury where they required
mm-hmm.
medical attention and had to get, you know, a cast or something like that, you know, and if they want to inquire about insurance, you know, an insurance claim, I'm the one they need to talk to. So that's why I do all the follow-up. And I found, you know, parents are kind of like, oh my gosh, my child stubbed her toe and you gave her ice. You really needed to call me about that. But me personally as a business owner, I would rather, you know, extend that conversation and talk to them and make sure the kid is okay rather than bury my head in the sand and pretend like it didn't happen.
Right.
some business owners will do that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get the bad press. That's where you get where you don't care about your kids or things like that, your customers.
Sure.
So I do call every single incident report that happens. And my staff gets really frustrated because, you know, kids, sometimes they want ice because they want attention.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, you gave them ice. You fill out an incident report and you call mom and dad to come pick them up. That's our rules. Mm-hmm. You know, again, safety, then fun.
Right.
It's all about the safety.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that we're, you know, providing a safe environment that parents can trust us, that if, especially if they're dropping their child off for class or practice or our drop off open gyms or a birthday party, that they can trust that we're going to provide a safe environment and that if something does happen, we're going to address it quickly.
Sure. That's so interesting you say that, the ice for attention, because I was just talking with an employee today that I swear was just looking for attention. I mean, that's, I imagine you deal with that too. There's that age range of kids that haven't quite matured.
Yeah.
To that, to the point where they don't need ice for attention or something of that nature. Yeah. Insert
or
X here for attention.
My friend Susie has ice and I want ice too.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't have anything wrong with me.
I'm right.
Like, well, you know, are you sure you need ice? And
right.
we got to call mom and dad to come pick you up. You know, they're pretty good about identifying if somebody's, you know, because they're there. They see if somebody stubbed their toe or fell off a mat or something like that. So, you know, they're pretty good at identifying, is it attention seeking or is it, you know, they really are hurt and I need to stop what I'm doing and address this right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's interesting. What are some of the things that you've learned from since you started your, or bought your business? I always want to say, like, it started, because it kind of started.
So one of the things I've learned is, you know, when a customer is upset, their first instinct is to send you an email or write in a review.
Okay.
Because it's easy. It's non-confrontational.
Sure. Yes.
And one of the things that I've learned is acknowledge it and invite them in to have a conversation face-to-face.
Okay.
Because a face-to-face conversation, when a customer... people get really heated about their kids. I mean, we're talking about people's kids here. It's their most precious commodity that they have.
Should be.
You know, so if something, whether it's a misunderstanding or if it's an injury or whatever it might be, a billing error, people get really sensitive about that. It has to do with their kids. So I've learned not to get into sparring matches on email because it can quickly turn into a sparring match when you're emailing.
Less than one email, yes.
And so I learned that really quickly. Is acknowledge the email, acknowledge the complaint, and invite them in for an for a face-to-face conversation.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, they are calmed down by the time they get in to meet with you, and you can have a rational conversation.
Sure.
And then you take what they said to you, and I either, you know, I will always defend my staff publicly to the end. I mean, if they did mess up, I will address that with them behind private behind closed doors.
Right.
But I will never throw my staff under the bus to a customer. I mean, it's you know, I'm sorry that that happened. I will address it with my staff. You know, we'll learn from it. And then I'll go behind closed doors and talk with my staff about it. And I think customers have come to realize, like, I'm fiercely loyal when it comes, or protective when it comes to my staff.
I am the same exact way with calls on call.
I'm so protective of them. You know, again, parents get really sensitive when it comes to their kids, and they're very quick to attack a staff member or, you know, and I just kind of nip that in the bud right away. And so face-to-face is the way to go.
Right. Because you also have to assume that your staff, since they're trained and not everybody's complaining, this is one incident out of thousands of interactions. That the error lies somewhere else than in the staff specifically. So to defend...
it's usually somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, right. But I get mistakes happen and all that jazz. Yeah. But I'm the same way with my staff, because one, there's a loyalty there. They have to show that you have your staff's back. And from, I guess what we found is probably 85% of the time, it's a mistake on the customer's end.
Sometimes.
And when we find that out, you can't just tell the customer that they messed up.
Yeah.
Because we've tried that, and nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. So you have to kind of navigate around and say, you know, we have this data, we have these recordings, blah, blah, blah. Just you infer what you need to from there. So it's interesting how you have to tap dance around people.
You do.
When they're wrong.
Yeah.
You it's so frustrating.
Because you want them, I mean, we want them to come back. We want them to continue to use our services. But at the same time, sometimes you have to reset expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry that you thought we closed a half an hour early, but these are our hours.
Right.
Like, and then they're like, oh, I thought your hours were this. And, you know, I just attacked your staff member because I thought they closed early. And that wasn't, you know, so I do... I mean, I am comfortable resetting those expectations, especially if they're personally attacking a staff member or, you know, whether it be via email or via a survey or something like that. If they're personally attacking them, you know, and they call a specific staff member out, then I definitely want to have a conversation with them and make sure that they understand, you know, something might have been out of that staff member's control.
Right.
I mean, that staff member might have had to say no to something or push back on something that was outside of their control, and they shouldn't have to get a negative review for somebody for that.
Right.
I'd like to clarify, you know, to the customer, maybe that was my decision
or
they don't have the authority to make that decision. So I'm going to take this up with you now since you couldn't get anywhere with the staff member.
No, that makes sense. That makes complete sense. It's interesting because I feel like you and I are in the same position because we're not on the front lines necessarily all the time.
Yeah.
So when a customer says that something happened and it's, you're getting a story from customer, you're getting a story from staff member. And sometimes I imagine with customer, you're getting the story from their kid to them.
Sometimes, so
you're playing this long line of telephone and you're trying to navigate like, okay, what exactly happened?
Well, I tell my staff members, I say, if there's any inclination that a customer may email me, tell me first, because then at least I know what happened from your perspective. But usually what happens is they 99% of the time they come in via email. So it gives me an opportunity to reach out to the staff member or whoever was a supervisor on at that time and say, tell me what happened. Tell me everything that happened with this so that I can go back and respond to the customer. So usually I don't respond to the customer till I've talked to the staff member who was on at the time first. But I have that luxury because 99% of the time they're coming in via email. Every once in a while, I mean, I'm not physically in the gym that much, mostly just when my daughter's in practice is when I'm there, because I have the directors there. But when I am there, you know, the people who do know that I'm the owner usually beeline towards me.
And
like say something, you know, it's more often positive conversations than negative, but you know, they do sometimes put me on the spot and ask me about something and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Talk to my staff member and get back to you on that. So
Because it's interesting because you're put on the spot and you you don't have all of the information.
Exactly.
And they're expecting answers.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know everything now. I gotta see what's going on. That's funny.
Yeah.
So when you started your business, was there a challenge from a financial perspective getting all that stuff in order, or was that pretty easy?
You know, I own another business now, and I've owned other businesses in the past.
Oh, I didn't know that. So, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So I had, and I have a master's in business. So it's like kind of a general aptitude to, you know, business operations. And I'd been in this industry for so long that I felt, you know, really comfortable with it. And I was doing all the administrative work. So I kind of knew the right decisions to make. You know, up until building this building, I wasn't in a position where I had to borrow any money. So this was a really big, like, learning experience for me, because I was able to self-fund this business for the last 6.5 years. And just through, you know, good decisions and, you know, just being frugal and whatever. So it, you know, it has, it, we have our ups and downs. I mean, I definitely learned through the years, you know, how to budget really well, because we have a very, our business is really driven by the climate and the weather. And so it can be peaks and valleys. And so when it is valleys, I've got to have money to still pay my staff and still pay my rent and still pay my utilities. And, you know, I still have everything, you know, all my requirements to meet. So I've gotten much better at budgeting and, you know, taking advantage of the peaks and not going, oh, let's go buy $10,000 of, you know, new gymnastics equipment like I would have earlier, you know, in, you know, in my tenure here as owner. But yeah, it definitely has been very challenging. You know, I feel like I have good business sense, but not necessarily like I love to buy new things and I love to keep, you know, things exciting there. And, and so I got to like pull myself back every once in a while and be like, no, budget. I remember about those valleys. You know, those tough times.
So, I ask because I've seen many businesses where the business owner gets very excited, either buys a business or starts a business, and the business acumen or the just financial sense or just the entering data into some software program stuff that they know they can find a profit and loss statement and get the balance sheet and all that. That's just out the window. Wasn't even a thought in their mind.
Yeah, and this industry too. I mean, it's a lot of people who grow up in the sport.
Sure.
And they end up buying or like opening their own business or buying a business. I don't think there's a lot of gym owners in the area that have a master's in business. So I think that's like a little bit different than that. But I could stand corrected. But, you know, my knowledge of this industry is a lot of times it's people who grow up in this sport and then they just decide to open a business. So I feel really lucky that I have that master's degree.
Awesome.
And that I have some acumen there to be able to, you know, think thoroughly through my P&Ls. And, you know, I've gotten us to a place where we are about as lean as we can possibly be.
Sure.
And it was a lot of work to get to that place. A lot of mistakes to figure out what's the sweet spot for us and our P&L. And, you know, I really, you know, I just was talking with one of my directors about this, that we are as lean as we could possibly be. There is no other place that we could get more lean here. Like, we have gotten really good at the expense side of our P&L. Now it's about growing the revenue.
Sure.
So we have a lot of capacity to grow and not much from the bottom of the spreadsheet, you know, to balance
to
that off with. So so I feel lucky that we got to that point, but it was tough. I mean, it was really hard to just find that right balance of, you know, how much supplies to buy and when do I buy them? And, you know, equipment is huge for us. I mean, every piece of equipment is so expensive.
I was going to ask you about that because that has to be just stupid money.
Oh, it is. It's just like we bought foam for a mat. It was like $4,000. You know, it's just foam.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just this industry, the equipment is so incredibly expensive.
I was looking at wrestling mats for my kid. And I was like, how can these be so expensive?
Yes.
They got to use this stuff just in packaging. Maybe we should just order stuff that is shipped
and
in.
And it's not just the equipment, it's the shipping.
Yeah.
Sometimes to ship it is as expensive as it is to buy it.
Sure.
So, you know.
It's so big and awkward.
Yeah.
And
well, early on, I was just like, oh, we have money, buy equipment. And I would just spend.
Sure.
And through trial and error, I figured out, okay, keep that for those, you know, down times. And, you know, so then I started a equipment budget. And so I have a budget, and then each of the directors, I give them, this is how much you have to spend this year. And then I let them manage their budget. So they kind of prioritize their purchases for the year.
Sure.
And so if they have, you know, $10,000 to spend on equipment, I let them go out and decide what for their program that they're over, what's most important to them. And so they kind of go out and find their equipment. And then I do the price shopping to find the best place to buy it at.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I have like my favorite vendors. And so I found that's another thing I learned is find some good vendors that you can create good relationships with because sometimes they'll cut you a deal. You know, if I buy multiple things, they'll give me a discount or maybe they'll say, I'll throw in the shipping for you this time.
Sure.
So that was critical, was finding some vendors that I had good relationships with as well.
Super. That's interesting. Another mistake that I see business owners make. Well, they start their business and they don't have vendors lined up.
Right.
And then they have to find it. Chase that down, or they have to get terms with them set up, or they just even have to be acknowledged. I had one client that was looking for something. I forget exactly what she was looking for. It was something tangible, and she couldn't find a vendor. After she opened up her business, she couldn't find a vendor that would sell to her because she had an online presence, but she did not have a physical store. And all the vendors wanted a physical store address, and all she was given was her apartment number. Once they found out that it was a residential address, they're like, nope.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting, because even though it was essentially credit card terms, right? They're not even lending money to her.
Wow, that's interesting.
They still said no, yeah, which is bizarre. Bizarre. But that was something that she could have figured out before she started and navigated all that, right? Just solved it somehow. Whatever. Doesn't matter. What is your favorite part about owning your business?
Oh, the flexibility, the freedom.
I
love being my own boss. It's very rewarding. When it's, you know, when the rubber hits the road, it's my fight, my battle. You know, if things aren't working, that's my responsibility. I like that. I like having that ownership and that accountability. And I love working for myself. It's very rewarding and it's been good for, you know, flexibility for, you know, my daughter and so that's been great too. So
very cool.
And you know, I love my staff. So
sure.
Yeah.
You have to, right?
They're critical. They are the reason that we're successful.
Nice. Yeah. That's very cool. Is there some piece of advice or a few pieces of advice that you'd give to someone that was considering starting their own business, regardless of what type of business?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, surround yourself with people who compliment you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have a weak, like, accounting aptitude or something mm-hmm. like that, find yourself a really good CPA okay. that you can partner with.
Sure.
Or, you know, a business coach. I had a business coach early on that was critical in changing my business.
Oh, nice.
You know, it costs money, but, sure. you know, in the end...
Yeah, for business coaches.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it was like... I kept thinking, I don't know how I could afford this. And then I got to a point where I said, I don't know how I cannot afford this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was tough to stomach that bill.
Mm-hmm.
But man, did my business change exponentially after mm-hmm. having a business coach. So surround yourself with people who have knowledge of things that you don't have knowledge about or that you're not 100% mm-hmm. comfortable in. And then get really good staff that are loyal.
Sure.
And then reward them.
Mm-hmm.
So once you find those good staff members, reward the heck out of them so that they want to do well for you.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it. What has been one of the biggest mistakes that you've made in the past 6.5 years?
That's a really good question.
Presuming that you want to share.
Yeah, I think, you know, our business has evolved quite a bit with what we offer. And probably the biggest mistake is rolling out something that we weren't completely ready for.
Oh.
Financially, thinking
okay.
it through.
Sure.
You know, there was a scenario where we rolled something out. We didn't financially think it through. We totally were winging it.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost a ton of money on it. And that was a really big wake-up call.
I would love to say that I've never done that before.
So that's probably my biggest mistake. And that still hurts the pocketbook. You
sure.
know? So rebounding from that and
mm-hmm.
thinking things through a little bit more thoroughly before
right.
we roll something new out.
Right. That's yeah. fair. That's
yeah.
fair. What have been some of the best decisions that you've made?
Oh, some of the best decisions have been, I think the biggest and best decision we made was making that decision to have multiple branches of what our business is about and not
oh.
just focusing on one
sure.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when business in one area is down, it's up in the other area.
Sure,
so
sure.
it's created an opportunity for us to have consistent cash flow. So
oh, that makes sense.
I think that was probably clutch for us
sure.
is having those different branches that provide that income stream.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point because I see a lot of businesses that focus so strongly on one. Even I had a client of mine stop by this morning and she was talking about the Wellness Expo. And she was talking about all the volume of CBD oil people
oh, yeah,
there.
I bet.
And I thought, oh, my God, what is that going to be in a year or two? I don't know anything about it. But I imagine it just seems like one of those solve all your problems in this little bottle kind of thing.
Right.
And everybody's selling it, so competition's pretty strong. So I just wonder, like, you're putting a lot of focus in that one little thing. And, I mean, I hope it works for them great.
Time will tell.
But, yeah, we'll find out. We will find out. Do you have a favorite customer story?
Oh, gosh, there's many. You know, my favorite ones are when a parent walks up and says, you know, I've never seen my kids so thrilled to be a part of this activity,
well,
you know,
that's
be a
awesome.
Part of any activity.
Sure.
Or, you know, when you have a kid come in that is so in a shell
mm-hmm.
and, you know, has no voice, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you see them, you know, out on the floor yelling and
sure.
screaming and having fun. And that's probably my most favorite thing is watching those kids come out of their shells.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yeah. And just kind of finding their love for their sport.
Right. That's really cool. Yeah, I never even thought about that. I had I got a letter from a client, a student, last week, that just kind of outlined what they were doing. They'd been a student, I don't know, a year and a half ago, something like that. And just you try to stay in touch with students, but eventually they just fall off the bus, right? But every once in a while, you get those that come back to you and just let you know where they're at with their business. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole new world. So I can imagine with kids, it's even
well,
it's
for
multiplied.
Me, it's when people I coached are now coming back with their kids.
And
their
that's
kids
awesome.
Are in my gym now. That's when I really feel old.
Sure.
When the
just experience.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really cool to see that happen because
mm-hmm.
that's the second generation then coming
right.
in. Through our program.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I started coaching, I was at the high school, so I had seniors. So, I mean, that was a long time ago. So these kids have kids now.
Sure.
So that's a really cool experience when they walk in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when you were in middle school and I was coaching you.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you did cheer when you were a kid.
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Did you compete and all that?
No, not really. I mean, I, you know, when I was in high school, cheerleading wasn't, we were more like sideline cheerleading.
Gotcha.
And I didn't go to college right out of high school. So okay. I didn't, you know, nothing happened after high school. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my big regrets, like,
sure.
You know, because kids don't understand, like, once you leave high school, like, your sport is done. Like, give right. it your all, like, enjoy it because, mm-hmm. you know, the chances of people going on collegiately to continue their sport is so slim, you know,
sure.
chance.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, then you're done.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I kind of just live vicariously through my daughter now.
Sure. That's all right. Oh, that's funny. So outside of the building, what do you see as next? You plan on staying with this business forever? Do you plan on selling it? Or
oh, gosh, I don't know. You know, the goal would be that a next generation takes over, whether that's mm-hmm. my daughter mm-hmm. or whether it's, you know, one of the kids that's grown up through my program or
sure.
one of the alumni from, mm-hmm. you know, our program decides that that's my goal, is that somebody will take this and move it on to the next generation.
Sure.
So, again, that we have such strong loyalty in mm-hmm. our program and such a strong legacy in the
yeah.
cheerleading program
mm-hmm.
and it's really the core of our existence and
right.
so I just think someday there will be another generation that
sure.
will decide to buy it and
sure.
take it to the next level, but for now I'm content, I'm happy, I you know I enjoy it, I don't look at it as a job,
sure.
It's so fun
mm-hmm.
so it's good for now, but hopefully someday someone's gonna
right.
take it over and go with it.
Nice. Would
and
you ever consider expanding into additional areas?
I don't know. I mean, we already have the five different kind of things that we do, and so
well, I meant location-wise.
Oh, location-wise. Oh, gosh,
like get one
I
in Middleton
know.
That does the same thing?
Well,
or?
I don't know. I mean, we have so much more competition on the west side of Madison that,
okay.
than over here on the east side
or
of Madison.
Or even Rockford. I don't know. Just insert town here.
I don't know. I mean, it's something that, you know, I've kicked around, but this is enough for me
sure.
right now.
Okay.
And, you know, and again, our brand is so tied to Sun Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Prairie could apply to anywhere. If you, you know, just say the Prairie Kids Club.
There's a lot of grass yeah. in Wisconsin, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. So we definitely could expand, but I just don't know. I mean, it's just so dynamic having
sure.
all the different programs that integrate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how I could duplicate that in
sure.
another, you know, in another climate.
That's
so,
fair. That's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So is there something that you wish I would have asked you?
Not that I can think of.
No. Okay. So I only have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
One, do you have a favorite business book?
I don't think so.
Do you have a terrible business book that you wouldn't
no.
recommend to anyone?
I'm not a huge reader, self-admittedly.
No, okay. That's all right. That's all right. if you could offer one bit of advice to the world, it doesn't necessarily have to be an entrepreneur, so to speak, what would it be?
Life is all about choices.
Ah.
And think about those choices very
high
thoroughly.
Five there.
Yeah. That's my motto. Life is about choices.
Nice. That's some of the best advice that I heard from an old client of mine. It says, life is all about choices.
Yep.
It's so interesting.
I say that all the time when someone asks me for a quote. I always say, life is all about choices.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody actually said that, if that's a famous quote
sure.
or not.
Yeah,
but,
whatever.
But I just, it's stuck with me, and that's my quote of choice for years has been that.
That is so cool. I love it. Let's see here if I have anything else here. You mentioned the competition. I want to get back to that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the relationship that you have with competition?
Yeah.
Since a lot of it sounds like it was local here, which I had no
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, there is a lot of local competition. So some of it is people who have actually been part of our program and have gone out
oh, really?
Prior to me owning this place.
Okay.
You know, there are some people that I coached with or worked alongside that have opened their own places. And, you know, so if I see them out and about, I'll say hi and there's, you know, niceties and so forth.
Sure.
And so, you know, parents have choices. It's good for us to work together.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, there's I've found really good resource in, you know, some networking groups on social
mm-hmm.
media with other gym owners.
Sure.
That do what I do. And I've learned just a ton off of other gym owners.
Nice.
And so I get great ideas from other
You're
gym
owners. You're
all going
through the same battles.
We
so
are.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And it's nice to have somebody to commiserate with.
Sure.
You know, you talk about the customers. I mean, sometimes, you know, the customers aren't right, but you tell them they are.
Right.
But then you can go to your fellow gym owners and be like, oh my gosh. And they know exactly
right.
what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
and how to commiserate with
mm-hmm.
you. So,
yeah. You gotta play the game.
Yeah.
Play the game.
Yeah. Oh, I like
cool.
to play nice in the sandbox. I mean, my kid goes to other places as
sure.
well. And I just, there's room for all of us here. So, although we're all competitors, there's definitely room for all of us.
Well, I would say, yeah. And Sun Prairie is growing so quickly. So it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. It's always good to hear that people are cordial, at least
yeah.
to their competitors or, For some businesses, it's not so much.
I always say, you know, the high road is a lonely road to take. It's, right. You know, it's the best road to take.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the worst thing you can do is go out and talk bad about right. a competitor because mm-hmm. it doesn't make them look bad. It makes you look bad.
Yes. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jen. This has been enlightening, and it's good to hear the Prairie Kids Club is doing well. Congratulations on the building.
Thank you.
That is super cool.
Yeah, we are so excited.
Yeah, you'll have to, we have an open house or something like that?
We'll
or?
Probably do some sort of big party or something.
Fireworks.
To kick it off. So I will breathe a lot easier after those city approvals are done and we break ground. I think I will sleep better once
sure.
we start breaking ground. I know there will be a new set of challenges that will come with that, but I'm up for it. A
couple months. You're almost there.
Yep.
It's all good. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business, on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Jen Mead, owner of Prairie Kids Club. Jen, I forgot to ask you, what is the website?
PrairieKidsClub.com.
Easy enough, and super awesome revamped one now
yes.
as well. Cool. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome, and if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.